cliffcentral.com. It is time for us, though, to get into the burning platform. Why are you laughing?
May I just say this?
What happened?
We trust Mr. Malala on breaking news. He covers political
ground.
What did he do?
He just said to you, who the hell is what?
As you're talking about Minnie, she goes, who's she?
Oh, you can't.
No, that's
you can't
fine.
Be serious.
That's
so
fine.
I had to Google Minnie for
Justice
for him.
Does very important work.
And then he says,
very important work.
What does she do? Says, what show?
Yeah.
We forgive you, Mr. Malala. It's fine.
I'm sorry. I wasn't sure. Yeah. Gareth goes off and comes back and is married to her.
So do you now approve? Yeah.
All right. Okay.
So long as she doesn't break up the group.
No, she must break up the group. All right. Listen, everybody. It is time for the Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. Every Thursday, Justice Malala glides in here like Aladdin on his magic carpet, and he gives us a synopsis of the week's most important stories and what we really need to know. And for most of us, that's a complicated collection of musts, because often we don't know where the hell to start. So this morning, I think maybe we should start about the most boring thing on your agenda, the key points in the ANC's policy conference. Justice even said to me, this is going to be really boring, but we have to know this. So please tell me something about this.
Yeah. So, yeah, thanks, guys.
It's How nice are you, Justice? To,
welcome back.
Yeah, thanks,
I
man.
I mean,
yeah.
Who's this guy in the chair? Do we really need him now?
No, this is what I've learned. That's why I don't. Some days I don't pitch up. They've got it under control.
We can move on now.
Yeah, for sure.
Gareth, the policy conference. God, just even thinking about it is
boring.
It's so boring. Yeah. So 2,500 people are going to turn up at Nasrec, you know where the FNB stadium is. They're going to turn up there. Apparently, some of them are sleeping in Tshwane, and they get bussed in the morning and bussed off in the evening.
Wow. What a horrible way to live.
I know.
Imagine that's having that bus ride after a boring day at the policy conference. You have to hop in a bus.
5 days, huh?
Yo.
First thing up is on Friday morning, President Jacob Zuma opens with a political overview.
So this is one of the few occasions where he's allowed to speak.
We're not sure. I mean, those Limpopo people might start their new favorite song, Hearts Are Mine, then it's Jacob Must Go, you know. So you never know. Some things could happen. So there'll be 2,500 delegates. There'll be 1,500 journalists. I mean, who are these journalists?
Are there that many journalists in the whole of South Africa?
So many of them.
Justice, that was so much shade on you.
I know. I'm
asking a genuine question.
It's a lot of them, and they're all accredited, so they'll all be there, you know, taking up a good fresh air. And we'll, for the next 4 or 5 days, we are going to be inundated by reports from there. I think the first thing is, everyone's been talking since Jacob Zuma came to power in 2009 about the National Development Plan, that, you know, we have a plan, and the plan, the aim is that, you know, we take, did you know, Sia, that this year we're supposed to be at 14% unemployment?
Yes.
This year.
And we're at
27.7%. So what happened to the NDP?
Didn't the president promise a million jobs or something?
Well, that's when he first came in 2009. Yeah. He said, I'll give you 500,000 jobs in the next 6 months.
How are we doing on that front?
Moving on swiftly, because I don't want to throw shade, as some people have alleged. So what happened to the NDP? Is it still the ANC's plan? Is it still our plan as a nation? So Jeff Radebe is going to stand up on Friday, on Saturday, and give an overview of implementation of the NDP. Now, if the ANC says the NDP hasn't worked out, it means that they're going to go off and give us a new plan for the future. So you've moved from the RDP to GEAR to some other, and now NDP and maybe something else, Radical Economic Transformation. Mm-hmm. So the big debate then is going to be around these terms. Radical Economic Transformation, white monopoly capital, what does it mean? Who does it involve?
According to Paul Mashatile, it doesn't exist.
He says it doesn't exist, according
David
to...
David Makura says so too. Who do we believe?
These are mere provincial leaders. The big boys at national level.
Makulubas.
Seven Zizwane. Who's it? Alindiwe Zulu.
Mm.
All those ministers will be coming in saying, yes, we need to see radical economic transformation and so forth. And if you look at the program, people like Lindiwe Zulu will be leading some commissions about what the future looks like, where it should go, and so forth and so forth. Mm-hmm. So this, it's going to look boring from the outside. It's going to seem boring. But there'll be all these commissions. I think there are about eight of them. Malusi Gigaba will be leading one. Other people will be leading others. All sorts of people will be participating. There'll be people writing down everything that's said. They're called scribers. And then there'll be people who will be rushing back from this commission to the others to tell the others that, hey, in there we are going like this, and in there we are going like this, and then going to the main hall to tell other people. It's serious work, guys, and you should all look really interested. Usually when I talk about Mini Dlamini, everyone is listening. But hey, you know, I talk about the policy conference, everyone is on their phone
snoozing.
And not talking away. Snoozing away.
Shade.
So radical economic transformation, we could come out of this with that being the phrase of the year and maybe of the next 5 years of the ANC.
Yeah.
Or we could come out with it taking the Makura and the Mashatile line that, what does it mean? People are making just coming up with nice phrases which have no content whatsoever.
Yeah.
But I think we need to be aware of what I call proxies in this battle. So the Jacob Zuma and Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma faction are the ones who you'll find saying radical economic transformation. It's time now. It's time. Mm-hmm.
There was no urgency before, by the way.
Suddenly, because Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma has to come in, suddenly, now radical economic transformation.
Right.
The Ramaphosa Zweli Mkhize faction are the ones who, like Zweli Mkhize yesterday, went with Enoch Godongwana to meet automotive industry leaders. So these are the guys who make your nice cars here. You'll remember that I think it's General Motors of the U.S. Said, we are done. We are leaving South Africa. I don't know how many jobs, 7,000 jobs will go and so forth and so forth. They say, what radical economic transformation? We've got to go speak to other business leaders, find a way to work with them to implement the NDP. If out of this conference, that is what comes out, that no, we'll continue with the NDP, we need to implement better and so forth, you know that the Ramaphosa
faction has prevailed.
So really, when all these things are debates about, radical economy, they're really about who's going to lead this thing post-December this year. So if radical economic transformation is front and center of the resolutions on Tuesday when they're read out, then Nkosazana's winning. If they're not, then Cyril is ahead. And we can talk about that a little bit later. Another big issue where I think we are going to see some real battles, some real fights, and I think we might even come out with another resolution that will have business people and the markets and the ratings agencies jumping up and down, is land.
Mm.
The land issue has been on the boil for ages in South Africa. There's been like lots of new legislation, Restitution of Land Rights Amendment Act and so forth. By the way, Mabali, did you know that in terms of the Restitution of Land Rights Amendment Act, you could go to the piece of land that your parents were deprived of under apartheid and you can put in a claim and you can get the land and the government will pay for it?
I did not know that.
You did not know that, but thankfully I'm here for you. And I can tell you now that the window is open until 2018 December.
Oh.
So you got time.
But then can my claim that's been put in be challenged by someone?
Yes, you can. If you put in a claim on my land, I can say, no. Where's the evidence that you were moved from here? Where's the evidence that you are the real claimant?
And then what happens? Do we then go to court?
We go to the land claims court, and there is there's the land claims commissioner. The land claims commissioner looks at it and says, "No, this is Sia being, a township clever." And no, he doesn't get it. Or it's no, this is genuine. Here's the evidence. Here's some. Or whatever the evidence may be, it might be in history books, it might be in some memories from your family. You could bring your grandmother, for example, and she'd say, here is where we buried Auntie Mang Mang and so-and-so, and so forth and so forth. So part of the thing about land reform is that the laws are there, like the Restitution of Land Rights Amendment Act, which already... I think about 74,000 people have already put in claims.
How do you put in a claim? Do you just go to...
You find your nearest land claims commissioner, and okay. There are offices in all provinces, and you go and you say, this is what I'm here about, and they have people who will help you do it.
Okay.
So the issue is not, can Sia get his land back? Because the laws are there. In fact, there's not just Restitution of Land Rights Amendment Act. There's about eight others which you can use. So suddenly the big issue at this conference will be expropriation without compensation. That is, Mabale says, there is our land and we want it back. Government has always paid. Government has an office of the valuer general. So if Mabale wants the land that I have and I say, no, it's mine and it's worth 5 million, instead of paying me what I want, government says, we'll take it to the valuer general. The valuer general has professionals and they call them in and they go in and they look at the land and say, it's good for soya farming or for cattle farming, whatever it might be good for. And they say it's worth nothing. It's worth 20 rand. Or it's worth 50 million.
Yeah.
And both Mabale and I and government are bound by the valuer general and they pay.
They pay you.
They pay the person who's on the land at the moment. Million.
Yeah, yeah. The value of my land.
Yeah.
they pay me the value of that land. But in the past, it was willing buyer, willing seller, where I would say, no, it's my land. And I want 50 million for it.
Mm.
And they could say, no, it's too much. And blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, it was willing seller.
Mm.
And if I said it's 50 million or nothing, then you and government had to walk away. Now government says, no, there will be a third party, an arbitrator, and that is the Office of the Valuer General, who will come and say, yeah, we hear you, you say it's 50. Yes, we know, Mabale, you don't have money, or government, you don't have money to buy the land for Mabale. We believe the fair and equitable and just price is 25 million.
Mm.
And I, as the land owner, mm-hmm. I have to take it.
Hmm.
And that's it. So,
it doesn't sound... I mean, I'm always against like property rights being infringed, but that doesn't sound totally unreasonable.
No, it doesn't.
Because I reckon there would be totally unreasonable people sometimes who would say, "Oh, well, it's worth 100 when it's only worth 50."
Yes, that, you know, and that has happened.
Those people are just
that has happened. You know. So people quote. You'll remember, I think 2 or 3 years ago when the ANC had its big shindig in Mpumalanga, and President Zuma announced that government had spent a billion rand buying, was it Malamala?
Yes.
And everyone said, jeepers, what? And people had a big debate about the community, the families. I think there were about 7 families who made the claim. They never got they got some money, but the 1 billion basically went off to the owner of Malamala. So he became an instant millionaire, did a deal that now that you've paid me the billion, let me help these families run this thing, or else it's just going to be what's the meaning of this? So he was still going to make cash from that deal. And it was like, okay, what about Mabale and the families that made the claim? And it was all over the place. But the Restitution of Land Rights Amendment Act just makes it quicker. So we don't have a long, drawn-out fight about, no, it's a million, no, it's 5 million. Mm. Someone comes in, someone who's trusted by both parties, if you will.
Right.
And who says, this is the value of the land. That's, okay. You know, forget the trying to make a profit and so forth. This is the value and this, and it should be fast and easy. So it's not that we don't have mechanisms and so forth. Now, expropriation without compensation means that I say, ooh, Sia's farm, that's nice.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's, Baba, we want the farm. And you say it's worth 5 million. Let's take that farm. And you put in legislation to take it without paying.
Mm. Mm.
So that is the big issue. President Jacob Zuma has said, he said in February that it's time, we need to find ways to do this. He has said that we need to work with the EFF, that's the ANC, to change the Constitution, Section 25, to expropriate without compensation. People like Zweli Mkhize, Cyril Ramaphosa say, now you've become a land activist. Where have you been all along? Yeah. Is it because you want votes or something?
Plus, what we've got to remember is once you give government the ability to take away private property from people, they will do it to you eventually.
Well, that is absolutely the thing that...
it's like if you give them the right to lock you up without a trial. They'll do it to you eventually.
One day it will be.
So it's fine when we all agreed that Sia's a bad person and we'd like him to be arrested or the Guptas or whatever. But the moment they come for you, you don't have a leg to stand on because you've let them change the constitution. There's that, but there's also in this land thing, and land is complicated because if... Let's say Mabali puts in a claim for Sia's land and she gets the land. And let's say it's a couple of thousand hectares. It's a huge, big farm, let's say. She now has to run that thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes it costs a lot more to run land. So you get the land for free from government, effectively for free.
Yeah.
Right? But then you need huge capital to be able to keep making it productive. And sometimes you won't get that capital. And then people go, oh, well, look, this guy can't farm or Mabali can't farm, which is not entirely fair because the farmer who had it before, he'd been farming there for a long time.
Mm.
So he knew how the seasons worked. He kept some money in reserve. He bought the seeds. He had the equipment. She's not going to get all of that.
I mean,
so then what's the solution?
Well, the solution is somewhere in between, obviously. We need to think these things through. First of all, does Mabali really want to farm or is it just the value of the land? In which case, she should get the value of the land.
Yes, but there's a big problem here. There's a figure that's been bandied about, and I think President Jacob Zuma spoke about it a few weeks ago. It was about how many of the farms that have been, of the land that has been returned, where people take the money and run.
Yeah.
So you have a... perfectly good productive farm, Mabali gets it and says, no, actually I want the money. So you don't actually have land being transferred. Mabali pockets the 5 million or the 20 million or however much it is.
Mm.
The land is sitting there and the farmer goes and farms in Mozambique.
And then it's just a get rich quick scheme and government ends up paying for it.
Yeah. So, I mean, there is something to be said and to be debated about that. And I think you can get through it by finding, I'll tell you, I grew up with a guy. I don't know what's wrong with this guy, but he's the only person I know who does want to farm. He's black. But he can't get access to land because he's not politically connected.
Ah.
So you go to the Northwest, there's about more than 100 farms that government is sitting on. And they are saying, oh, we can't find people who want to farm them. He's been putting in his application for years. Why isn't he getting in? I don't know what's wrong with this guy. I grew up with him. I've known him for more than 30 years. And he wants to farm. That's all he wants to do. All these other things are just sort of, but he wants to farm. Now, you've got one thing that many of us don't have. I might have better science and be able to sort of understand the science of farming a little bit better. But that guy has got the heart. He wants to live somewhere with his wife all alone. I don't know. It's nuts.
Anyway, it's hard out there.
It's hard out there.
And if you want to be a farmer, I mean, you should be able to.
Yeah. So the land question is going to be a big one. I would say to all of us in the room, let's watch that. I think that there might be some movement. You know that the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal says, why are you debating? That's enough now. So they've said we must have a referendum like we did with Brexit, where two questions or one question is put to the electorate. So everyone goes out on whatever, August 17 or whatever it is, and you get into a booth and there's a question. Do you think Section 25 should be amended to allow for expropriation without compensation? Yes or no? Boom. So they're pushing that hard. Sikhlizi Galala said it on Monday. And he wants to see, that's what KwaZulu-Natal is going to the conference as their position. So there might be something there, but I think there'll be some movement on land, and I think it's going to be quite it's going to have some repercussions into the future.
You mentioned this boring policy conference, and the stalwarts are not going to it.
The stalwarts are not going to it. They said you can't go to this policy conference. The people in the room are the problem. And by that they mean that you and I have been now been talking about if radical economic transformation comes out as the topic, as the theme, then it means that the Jacob Zuma and Nkosazana and Dlamini Zuma faction is on the ascendant. If the other arguments come through, the NDP types, then it means the Ramaphosa Mkhize faction is on the ascendant. So the stalwarts are saying, no, we need a different kind of forum where we can discuss what has happened to the ANC, why it has lost its way, why it can't even discipline its own president when he's brought it into such disrepute, and so forth and so forth. So they're saying this thing where Gweda says, no, come, let's talk for a few days, and after talking, we can go on. They say, we've had enough. So if 101 signed up stalwarts of your organization. So among those stalwarts, you think of Cheryl Carolus, you think of Tony Yengenis among them, many others saying, we are not going to this because it's not going to work. We'll sit with the same problems. And they're saying, we're going to have our own conferences. So they're going to go to Limpopo and SIA will organize a nice big conference there. And they're saying, we'll have the priests, we'll have the COSATU, we'll have the SACP, we'll have everyone else who the ANC is rejecting, and we'll, you know, we'll talk about the problems we face. Right. Then we'll go to the Eastern Cape, three other provinces. And I think there's a beginning of a new movement here. It's a bit like, it looks a bit like the UDF. It looks a bit like the Mass Democratic Movement of the 1980s, and it's beginning to walk away from what Jacob Thabo Mbeki called the legal ANC.
Yeah.
And by the legal ANC, he means, yeah, you've got the name, you've got the stamp, and you can say we are the ANC. And I'm not going to dispute, you are legal. But are you legitimate?
Are you the heirs of that
Mandela
legacy?
Yeah. Exactly. And it seems as if the legacy is going one way, and the guys with the stamp and the T-shirt are saying, we are the ANC.
Who are the people who would make that movement really credible? Who are the people who would add massive power to that base?
Well, I mean, the big problem for the ANC is that if you go to Zweli Mkhize, he sits there and says, we have problems and we need to... And he'll speak very nicely, but he's going to stay with the legal ANC.
Sure.
And for that movement that's beginning to go outside to really get traction, you need a younger cohort of leaders to say, you know what, we are staying with the rotten apple, maybe, if it is rotten, and we are done with that. So will people like David Makwira be the people who say that? Well, you mentioned Paul Mashatile. Will they say, you know what, that's fine, no further, so I'm going to go
but,
with
but
it.
But who of the Zuma people leaving would hurt him the most? Malusi? He's young.
Malusi is young. Malusi is ambitious. And Malusi may believe that his horse needs to be hitched to another
wagon.
Before, you'll remember that his horse was firmly hitched. He was the blue-eyed boy of the Mbeki administration. Mm-hmm. And he unhitched from that and went on to become the blue-eyed boy of the Zuma administration. And also the Gupta administration, by the way.
Yes.
Given
we mustn't forget that president.
Yes. So he could change. I don't think one of the things that Jacob Zuma does well is not to centralize power in one or other person. So, except in himself. So you find people like Natim Tetwa who are loved 1 minute and then, you know, are unhitched the other minute. So you can get safety and security, big thing. And now you're in arts and culture, not so big thing in their estimation. So the thing about the Jacob Zuma administration is that everyone who's anti-Jacob Zuma in the ANC right now was once with Jacob Zuma.
Yeah.
So Cyril Ramaphosa threw his lot in with Jacob Zuma in 2012.
Right.
All the way down, Bladin Zimande, oh, this guy is this. Kosatu, don't speak at my rallies. Everyone has been with Jacob Zuma. And they've left and he's still in power. So don't underestimate his ability to say, uhambe kahle, good luck with it.
Yeah.
Because he's always got someone else desperate enough to help him along and to keep him in power so long as they're making a bit of something out of it. So
yeah.
I'm not sure where the movement would be. I think it would need to be a mass movement. What you have now is it attrition? Was that the right word? That it's a drip, drip, drip of people saying, but I know this is now too much and going to the other side. Oh, too much going to the other side. And so that faction is weakening, but how quickly is it doing so? Jacob Zuma mustn't be underestimated. He's won again and again and again. And he keeps on winning. And I no longer I no longer delude myself that it's the end for Jacob Zuma. It's he keeps on fighting.
Well, he's gonna have to stop at some point. So who's next? I mean, a lot of people are talking about this leadership battle. They're saying that Cyril's finally stepping up and becoming a real contender,
yeah.
And Kwazazana may be losing a lot of points because she's absolutely quiet about pivotal important issues, and she's throwing her lot in with a lot of really defunct, bad arguments.
Mm.
For someone who we've always respected as one of the intellectuals in the ANC, one of that Thabo Mbeki camp of kind of, the UK university friends, which is what they were. She was a close ally. In fact, she lost her cabinet post when Thabo Mbeki was what did they call him? Recalled.
Yeah.
So what is she doing? Is she losing ground?
She's losing ground, gone underground. She's
what's going on there?
But I think that campaign is derailing. That campaign is falling apart. So there's two elements to this. On this show, we've always, week in, week out, what's going on, and we put our little 100 rands there and say, okay, it will be this one and that one. And I've always said that grouping is organized. So you had the Premier League, you had the leagues, so MKMVA, your Women's League, Youth League, and they started off fast. They welcomed her at the airport. They, if there was a tin drum being opened, she'd be there giving a speech. Something, anything. That was an upper mama. This way. So there was a lot going on there, you know. But KwaZulu-Natal is a big problem for that faction.
Yeah.
Because Sihle Zikalala won as the leader of the KwaZulu-Natal faction, after three conferences were collapsed, The fourth one, Senzo Mkunu and his supporters walked out.
So it's by no means tied up.
So there's a court challenge to the leadership of Sihle Zikalala and Super Zuma, who is the secretary of the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal.
Super Zuma.
Yes.
I just love that name.
It's a gorgeous name.
You can almost see it a big Z and a cape.
It needs a theme song. Like a superhero theme song.
Super Zuma.
So there's a court challenge to their leadership. Many, many people in KwaZulu-Natal are concerned that the leadership of Super Zuma and Sihle Zikalala may be reversed, and that a new conference may have to be held, and what happens if they lose it. Senzo Mkunu is still out there. Whenever Cyril Ramaphosa goes to KwaZulu-Natal, Senzo Mkunu is with him. You may have noticed something really weird happening over the past 2 months. Mabale, you follow the news quite closely. About 7 weeks ago, Zweli Mkhize is about to stand up and speak in KwaDukuza, I think it was. And as he's about to speak, suddenly there's blue lights flashing. What's going on? Oh, the president has just popped in. And he'd like to say a few words. So poor Zweli, with his pile of papers to read his speech, suddenly, oh, the president is here. And the president gives a speech and people love it. And, oh, yeah. Oh, hamba ngamalala. Yeah, it's great. No, it's fine. And then Zweli gives his little limp wristed speech. Oh, yeah,
yeah, no, it's true, yeah. It's like a real letdown.
And then he goes to, maybe 4 weeks ago, he goes to another function. Stands up. This time, he's like, I'm going to give this speech. I'm going to go for it. In KwaZulu-Natal. Suddenly, what's going on? Oh, the president has arrived.
Again.
Oh, what timing.
The president would like to say a few words. Okay, then. He gives a one-hour speech. Last week, you know where this is going. Yeah. There's Zweli Mkhize. Looking about nervously. No, he's not here. Comrade Treasurer General Zweli Mkhize is about to speak. Oops.
Third time.
Jesus. The president is here. He'd like to give a little speech. Oh, 1 hour later, he's still going strong. So something weird is going on. So Nkosazana's not there. No one else is there. It's Zweli, and he thinks I've got the stage, and the president, boom,
yeah,
arrives. So there seems to be real fear of Zweli Mkhize in the Jacob Zuma camp, Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma camp. And it seems to me that a lot more people in KwaZulu-Natal are starting to say, hey, this guy, you know, he's not bad. He wasn't too bad when he was premier. Maybe he deserves higher office. Now, between the Senzo Mkunu ANC and the Zweli Mkhize ANC, and then you have the Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma ANC, suddenly it's no longer a united bloc. Suddenly this thing is looking shaky.
Right.
And KwaZulu-Natal could arrive at the conference in December, not as a united force, as a totally different looking ANC. Now, all along, in 2012, in 2007, when KwaZulu-Natal arrived, it was, Jacob Zuma is our man.
Yeah.
What if they arrive, others are saying, Jacob Zuma is our man. Others are saying, Cyril is our man, if his deputy is Zweli. Way baba. So, one, it's not looking too hot for Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma and KwaZulu-Natal. It's no longer looking united.
But the president pitching up at these meetings and giving speeches.
Yeah.
Is he going out to bat for Nkosazana? Is he trying to derail Zweli?
He's trying to derail Zweli so that Zweli is not a threat to Nkosazana, particularly dividing KwaZulu-Natal. KwaZulu-Natal is absolutely pivotal. If KwaZulu-Natal is divided, then the field is wide open. It's wide open. And the second thing is that the Nkosazana camp is absolutely worried that who's the guy in Mpumalanga?
Didi Mabuza
wants to be deputy president of the ANC. He keeps on appearing in these these designs of our top six from the Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma grouping as the deputy president candidate. But he's sitting there saying, it's nice to be on your poster as the number two, but what if you lose because you're losing KwaZulu-Natal? So word on the street is that he's been knocking at Cyril's door. Hey, Baba. How are you today? Hey, Baba.
And that would mean a crack in the Premier League.
That the Premier League would now be left with little puny Northwest
and
puny little, no offense, Mabale, but with Free State now. I mean, really.
It's not enough people to turn the conference.
No offense to the Free State. But, you know, I mean, suddenly it's not looking too hot. So there's a big battle for Jacob Zuma to preserve the gains of this faction that he needs so that he's not facing trial when post-2019.
It's amazing. These politicians will turn on a dime, huh?
They will turn
when
on
they
a dime.
Smell something in the air, they change their camp.
Who wants
like
to
that?
Be on the losing side? And yo. I can see Mpumalanga sniffing around for a position elsewhere.
Sure.
So Cyril Ramaphosa's chances are looking markedly better today than they did a year ago. And this is the point where I think Ben or Mabale start saying, so Justice, are you going to pay me R100? No, it's not over till it's over. But I'm happy to concede that that Cyril Ramaphosa's chances have really changed, and the Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma train is derailing a bit here and there.
Now, so, one last thing. We can't let you go until we've discussed this. So Dudu Mieni pitched up at Parliament this week to explain why SAA owes billions and they're not making a profit, despite the fact that they're an airline in a country where there are only two, actually. Because technically there are more than two, but really there are two.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, British Airways Comair owns Kalula, South African Airways owns Mango, so it's really just two.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a fifth, but they're so small, Fly Sapphire or whatever. Don't worry about them. So somehow this company is not only incapable of turning a profit, despite huge market advantage and endless amounts of government bailout money, somehow they just can't get it right. So they're called to order because Dudu Mieni, who's the chairperson, she's been there before in Parliament and very unsatisfactorily tried to explain her way out of another hole. But she gets called up. Only she pitches. Her whole board don't pitch, and she has no explanation for this.
Mm. Tell me something. If you fly SAA, let's say we say, Sia, go and leave now. Mm-hmm. So Sia says, nah, okay, I'm going to fly home. You're not from Soweto.
Durban.
All right.
Oh, there you go. So yes, I'm going to fly to Durban.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got his little air mile card there, and it's SAA. So if you don't fly SAA, you fly BA.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get your miles on BA. You got to open up a new one. So imagine with Dudu Mieni, she's the chair of SAA, right? But when it was time to go to Parliament, she said, "Hi, Mina, I'm not flying with my guys." She flew BA.
I mean, the irony of that is almost—it's like a fiction.
it's not.
How is that? She flew BA.
She flew BA. Maybe it was because I think the last high-profile time she was in Parliament, she arrived late and she got lambasted by everyone. And she said, it's because I flew SAA.
Yo!
Oh, no.
Tells you something. Anyway, so she flew BA. She arrived there and she was on time. But what does it mean when the chair of SAA arrives and the only person, no one, in fact, out of her board will be there with her And they said, oh, no, we've got other meetings and so forth. I'm sorry, you're the chair of the board and no one will appear with you. So when Floyd Chivambu of the EFF stood up afterwards and said, hi, I've been told by reliable sources that the reason why she's all alone here is that the other board members have had it up to here with her and they are not prepared to be in public, seen in public, defending things in public with her because they're just giving her a veneer of respectability. Enough now, we're no longer doing this. So that's the first thing. This is, remember that Nhlanhla Nene was fired because he wouldn't approve a dodgy Airbus deal. They wanted to buy new, I think, just six planes. And she wanted to cancel the contract, give it to a Gupta-linked family to be a go-between and add 10% or 20% or however much it was. And he got fired for saying no. When Pravin Gordhan came in, he wanted to fire her. And he was told that you can fire everyone, but not her. So he ended up giving her one more year as chair of SAA. He's fired too now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know how
this is some powerful woman, this.
That's very powerful. Very powerful. And she's still the chair. Despite the fact that her board is complaining that over the past 3 months, she's missed 9 meetings. Was it 9? 8 meetings?
Yeah, what is she doing?
She's chairing the board, but she's not there.
Yes. And we're paying for her.
So in the meantime...
We're paying for her.
You're paying for her. In the meantime, she is accused of all sorts of things. For example, she's accused of going to Malusi Gigaba and saying, there are meetings happening without me. Will you write a letter to the board and executive saying a meeting on this date has been cancelled? He thought the meeting was to do 1, 2, 3. The meeting was, in fact, to appoint a new CEO for SAA, but she managed to get that collapsed. So now MPs want to know what's going on here. But for me, there are two things with that meeting, and there was another meeting, and that meeting was a meeting with the DG of Home the DG of Home Affairs. His surname is Apleni, very nice guy, I think, very competent, knows what he's doing. But he was being asked about Malusi Gigaba's granting of citizenship, naturalization of the Gupta family. Now, he went through a long thing about this is how it's done and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The one thing he can't answer, because he's a good civil servant, the one thing he can't answer is how many times did Malusi Gigaba eat, dance, play at the Gupta compound? He can't answer how many times do the Guptas call you, Mr. Gigaba, and how many times do they call, and this is crucial, your political advisors. Because we know that Malusi Gigaba's political advisor when he was at Home Affairs, when he was at Public Enterprises, was spending all his time at the Gupta family. In fact, they bought him a 5 million rand house. Shucks. In fact, he took Vuyisile Lekona, I think is his name, who was the CEO of SAA. He took him to the Gupta family home. And in that meeting, they sat like this. And one of the Guptas said, here's 500,000 rand. And then we'll talk. The guy said, hi, Bafuiti, I'm sorry. I don't do that. They said, how? They looked at the advisor. What kind of guy did you bring us?
What is this?
What is this now? This is the
don't
money?
These people know how it works?
So they left, and he sent an SMS. He sent an SMS to the CEO who had said no to the money, and it was quite a beautiful SMS. I wonder if I still have it. It's gorgeous SMS. Oh yes. According to Amabungani Center for Investigative Journalism, Siyabonga Mahlangu, special legal advisor to the then Public Enterprises Minister, Malusi Gigaba, sent this text message to the CEO and chairman of SAA at the time, Vuyisile Khona, in December 2013. So preparing for the festivities, guys.
Yeah.
It says, Uyangithengisa, which is you're selling me out. Why did you let her know that you knew where she, Dudumiyeni, was going? This supposing Dudumiyeni was going to the house as well. you will compromise the mission.
Yo. This is the real government.
Compromise the mission.
You will compromise the... Don't do that. Anyway, so you see, when politicians don't pitch up in parliament, so there are two politicians. Lynn Brown should have been at the SAA briefing. Malusi Gigaba should have been at the Home Affairs briefing to answer the questions that would have been put to him by MPs, and they both didn't pitch. And I think there's something fundamentally wrong that's going on here. We need to give these MPs some teeth to hold the executive accountable. Because right now, poor Kuseli Apleni pitches up and talks about, yeah, the process is this and this and this. Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. But he can't speak about this. Someone should be asking this question that, this is his previous, by the way. This is Malusi Gigaba's advisor when he was at Public Enterprises. There's another advisor when he was at Home Affairs, who basically, it would be, hey, Baba, we need a work permit for one of the ANN7 workers. Yes. Within a day. In fact, we need to talk, as Mangushu Tshibitelezi said, in fact, we need to talk about the fact that two members of Home Affairs were sent to New Delhi to be stationed there specifically to process the Gupta family's employees. I mean, it's what is this place? Please, someone hold me to my chair.
Banana Republic.
Anyway, so accountability is when the politicians pitch up, because it would have been nice for Malusi Gigaba not just to answer that the law says I can give them or I can waiver this and so forth, to tell us exactly what his relationship with the Gupta family, when his advisors, one advisor after the other, is always at the Gupta home when a bribe is offered. That's for me is something he needs to answer.
Someone says here, shame justice, your farm buddy not getting any farms. It's because of you and your big mouth.
I believe in the system. One day he will get his farm because he deserves it. Not because...
get out of here, man. Shit, I'm saying. Get out of here for real. I'm saying get out of here for real.
All right, Justice, thank you very much.
I'm done, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Fantastic.
I hope you won't fall asleep with all the long speeches at the policy conference.
Well, we're not attending, thank goodness.
You're not among the 1,500 journalists?
No, we didn't.
What's wrong with you people?
Yeah, I really did
I
not know.
I get tired just thinking about the NC's policy conference. Thank God.
I like to, fall into my bed and discuss the ANC policy conference.
Palesa, do you want to go? Palesa, do you want to go to the policy conference? Amanda, would you like to go? I'll send either of you for
the
key.
The looks on their face.
You want to go, girls? Anybody?
No, thanks.
No? Okay, all right.
Guys, it's going to be lit.
Palesa, are you sure?
No,
she says, no, I'm good. All right, thank you, ladies. Great. All right, Justice, thank you very much.
Thanks,
the
guys.
Burning Platform returns next week, Thursday, same time, same place. It's brought to you by Nando. CliffCentral.com.